Good morning. It is October 20th, 2022. It is 15:33 hours, and this is Ward Green. I have solved the problem of what was causing my NWTIN program to not open, for the DOS box to not even see the directory in which it was mounted. I mean, it was mounted in that directory, but it couldn't access the drive. It didn't show any files, but I believe it was not accessing the drive. And the reason I think that is because when I switched the solution, I'll tell you what the solution was. The solution was to go into the DOS box, which is located in my user directory under applications, by the way. That's just where I chose to put it. I could have put it anywhere. And it would have run, I believe, from anywhere. But in my user directory under applications, I have no other applications other than the Wineskin application, which I'm not even using. And that application was supposed to do the same thing that DOSBox is doing. But it didn't really work for every program, or it didn't. I tried it. Let's see. Maybe I didn't try Wineskin with NWTIN, actually. But it's to run Windows programs. It's not meant to run. That's why it's Wine. It's WIN for Windows. It's Wineskin intended for Windows, and so it wasn't designed to run DOS programs, I suppose. But maybe it could have. I don't see why it wouldn't have run a DOS program. I mean, I don't need it because I was able to run DOSBox now. So, but I still have Wineskin there just in case I need it later on. But I don't need it, probably. I mean, I don't appear to need it right now. So, the next thing is what I did. I went to DOSBox and I ran the other form. I can't show you this either. I can try to show you. I went to the other DOSBox, which is for a different monitor. It's for the other monitor system. There's more than one DOSBox because different graphics systems exist. So apparently there are different graphics architectures, and so there are two different DOSBoxes that are given to you when you get DOSBox. There are two different versions of it. One of them is for the one graphics system, and the one graphics architecture, and the other is for the other. So I ran the other one. And what happens when you run the other one is it's not going to be able to run your program in the proper size and shape because the graphics is wrong, but it will ask you a question when it runs. It will say, DOSBox would like to access files I happen to have it on a removable drive, so it needs to have permission to access DOSBox. So I say, okay, and then it runs, but it doesn't run correctly because it's a different graphics architecture that this version was designed for. So I just exit, type my exit commands, and I'm done. Now, when I go back to the other one, which is designed for the correct graphics, I didn't try to show you. Let me first try to show you what I got here. It ran it, okay? It ran the Bible research program successfully, okay? It runs it. That was the first thing that I noticed, that it works. So then I knew I was onto something. So here's the DOS, or here's the Bible research program. Let me drag it down. So I bring it over. Oh, look. I can show you the program. It's fantastic. I'm able to, yes, so I have to run in order to show you the Bible research program. This is fantastic. I have to run this program. This is great. So I could search. So let's search up. What did we search the other day? We searched. We could search for little dogs. Remember that there was the same, and there were four matches for little dogs. She said, Matthew 15:27. Yes, Lord, but really the little dogs do eat of the crumbs falling from the table of their masters. Well, you can't see that completely because I've got Let's see. Let me just take this out here. Yeah. Let me take the webcam out of there. Is that going to work? Yeah. Right like that. Okay. So transition. Good. So she said, the little dogs do eat of the crumbs falling from the table of their masters. You see that? That's in 15:27 of Matthew, right here. So I can show you. All I have to do is run the Bible research program on the other architecture. The problem is, I can't. I was running it on this architecture at the time, I believe, when I tried to run it on the other system or something. And it didn't have permission to access the drive. Even though it didn't ask me for permission, I didn't see it ask me. Maybe it did, but it didn't. It should ask me for permission every time I try to run it from a different drive or under a different architecture. Every time I try to run the program under a different architecture, there are two different ones. If I'm switching architectures and trying to run it under a different architecture, every time I switch architectures, it should ask me for permission to access the drive because it hasn't run that architecture version as the last time on the last time it ran. You see? So it should ask me. So let me drag that away for a second here. Let's go back. Let's put me back in the picture here. Yeah, okay. What I need to do also is I need to start up my... I need to get... I can't see myself on the screen, so I need to put a window here. I need to get an always-on-top cam so I can see myself. There we go. So the other thing I want to do is, if this is the program here, right, the Bible research program, when I dragged it over here, if I let go, it corrects itself. But you can see, I can show you, where is it? Come on. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, okay. When I clicked on it, don't allow. Let me just see here. Let's escape that for a second. That's what was happening, but I need to see what I can do here. Let's run this again. Here it is. There it is. Yeah. So I'm running it, right? And every time I drag it over here, it looks correct because I'm running it on the wrong. But what I wanted to show you, let me drag it back. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. I'm only seeing the lower left corner of the program if I drag it over here. Until I let go of it, I see the lower left, and then bang. See, I was only seeing this area until I let go of it, and then it's correct. The architecture adjusts to this platform, which is the laptop. I'm looking at it on the laptop. It's the laptop architecture right now that it's using, whichever, or the particular monitor architecture for this, which is used by the laptop, whether it's not used only by this laptop, it's used by other monitor systems as well. But I need to try to get this on top. I can't. Okay, good. I dragged it away. I want to drag it away. Now I'm going to switch over, okay? So I'm going to exit this program, escape, and then X, enter, and that exits. Why does it want to access on a removable drive? That's strange. It couldn't even exit without asking permission at that time. But I'm not sure if I didn't whatever the reason, it didn't have permission to access the drive. Okay, so next I'm gonna run the other version. If I run the other DOSBox version, which is called, see, these are my two DOSBox versions, DOSBox X. Right? Let me get them here. DOSBox X and DOSBox X-SDL2. SDL2 is the other one. So if I run that one, I can run either one of these. It'll do the same thing. But if I run this, it's gonna run the Bible research program. It's gonna ask me for permission. So this is what it looks like currently. This is what the permission looks like. It wants to access. Okay, say okay. It runs. Okay. Now, then, It looks perfect on my monitor that I'm looking at it on. But when I drag it over here, look what happens. It becomes this gibberish. It doesn't work. So I can't use it. If I drag it back, it still remains gibberish. It doesn't go back to, you can't see it, but I have to exit, okay. Now I'd have to rerun it, and you won't be able to see this, but I'll have to rerun this. I'll just bring it back. I just keep my Finder window on my other monitor normally. It runs fine, so I can run it. It works perfectly, just like you saw it perfect. I see it perfect on my other monitor, but I'm running it as the other graphics architecture. That's why. So, and that's why it wasn't running. It wasn't getting permission to access the drive, even though it could run DOSBox. I was failing to get it to run. So now we know what that was about. It wasn't a big problem, but it looks like a very big problem if you don't understand that you have to switch and get permission. I don't know how it was in a position where it didn't have permission and didn't ask me for permission either. That was a little bit unusual. Normally it'll ask for permission. So I never had this problem occur before, but we solved it. I solved it very easily by switching architectures and then back again. So very easy. But it wasn't easy to diagnose. I had some questions. I tried rebooting and things like that. But yeah, it was a very easy fix. Now my other program will work too, my WoodPro. I want to show you my WoodPro program. Let's run the WoodPro. Let's run WoodPro. See, when it runs WoodPro, it opens up a DOSBox window in terminal, and it runs it. And then it's supposed to close the terminal window, I think. But I only have two terminal windows. Is that right? What's this? It's okay, yeah. Okay, now I'll show you WoodPro. But you know what? It's not going to work on this monitor, is it? It's going to go gobbledygook. Okay, so it'll go bad on this monitor. So let's exit. Let me run this again on the other system. Whoops, I tried to exit. It didn't work. Tried to run X. Okay, good. Don't know what happened there either. I had two versions of it open. That's probably what happened. I'm going to run DOS. Now I'm going to run this WoodPro program on the other system. We'll see if it works. I don't think it's going to work, actually. Oh. I've never run it on this. Let me think. I think it might work. I tried to run YouTube. No, I can't. This is WoodPro, right? And when I try to run it on the other architecture, it doesn't like that. Oh, it can't be opened.
There is a gap in the audio.
That's not what I want. That's YouTube. It started YouTube for no one. It's a double click, I think, of my mouse. That's what happens. Unknown as to why. Okay, let's run this. Let's say control. Open. Can't be opened. It's not right. I know it can be opened. I'm running it. So maybe I can't run this one either. No, it runs. Yep. Well, I can run. Okay, I can't show you this program because I can't get it working on the other architecture. Okay, that's too bad. No, you know what? No, it ran the Bible program that time. It's not right. Okay, but that's okay. So I can run, yeah, that I know why that is. It's because I need to have a different configuration file. So I have to run it from this shortcut that I made. When I click on the shortcut, it runs. Perfect, yeah. There's no issues with that, so it runs fine. But I have two of them open. Okay. I've got to close the other one. So it can be done. There we go. Okay. But I have a shortcut that I made, or I have a program, a program file, like it's a script. It's a script that is an executable. I have an executable shortcut, or a shortcut to an executable that runs with the different configuration file. So it opens up the other program, not the Bible Research program. And I could do another one with another program and another program and another. I could have as many different programs as I want, but I'd have to write a different, just a slightly different script file for each one to go to a different place and open the other program file. But that's all. But I can't show you the Wood Pro. I mean, I can show you. Yeah, I can show you the weird version of what it looks like, maybe. But let's see. But it's not going to be graphically represented correctly. So here's what it looks like. That's what it looks like, yeah. Wood Pro. But then when I probably won't be able to get it. I have to press that. And then it gives me a main menu, and I can select look up wood, my name, maple. Enter. Will give me all the different types of maple. I could select, black maple is one of them. But it looks correct on my monitor, although not now because I've dragged it over to the wrong architecture. But anyway, I can run it on my monitor like this, which you won't see, unfortunately, and it looks fine. So, okay. So anyway, problem solved. Psalm 20 is what we were going to do today. That's today's study, little children. So we're having an interesting Bible study, or we have been having quite a fairly diversified study where we study Psalms. For those of you who are just joining us, we've been studying Psalms, and we've been studying one chapter in Psalms each day, and we've also done one chapter in Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon as we progressed at some point we started Psalms at the same point as we started Ecclesiastes. So we were doing Psalms 1 and Ecclesiastes 1, and then we got to Ecclesiastes 12, which is the last one, and then we began Psalm 13 and Song of Solomon 1. Now we're at Psalm 20, so that's 7 in addition, so we're at 8. We're at 13 through 20 is 8. 13 from 20 is 7, and to be inclusive, it's add 1, so it's 8. There are 8 chapters from 13 to 20 inclusive, right? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 8. All right, so looking at my program again, there we go. So we're ready, I guess. We're ready, but I don't know what else to... There were some other news that I wanted to talk about. Definitely. It's probably going to get too warm here. Turn off the heat. Yeah, I definitely had some interesting news. Right. I know what it was. I decided, I don't have to wait. I'm going to chew some gum. I decided I don't have to wait until the kaolin the clay arrives. I just ordered another brand from a different supplier, the place where I get my nutritional supplies. So that way, maybe I'll have the clay arriving sooner. And it's only about $10 or $15 to do that. So I saw no reason not to order it. Rather than waiting for a month, I can still use whatever arrives a month from now. Later. But I realize I don't have to be a victim of my own circumstances. I can take action. This gum is good. Yeah, I'm going to take this gum out in a minute. So a lot of what I have to do every day is order things. It seems to me I'm always either shopping for food, or I won't have to shop for food until the end of the month now, I think. Which means my average monthly so far this year is $376 per month, which is lower than $400, which is far lower than it was. When Anne first passed, I was paying $700 a month for food or something like that. With all the food I was eating and all the food. And that was not including supplements, but I was eating a lot of different I was buying more expensive bottled water. I was just buying a lot of. And that was not, that doesn't account for it, but I was eating a lot more food. I was eating sugar too. I was buying chocolate, and that's cool. It's the chocolate that has got me below 400 now. The lack of sugar. I mean, not eating chocolate. Not eating sweet chocolate that I buy at the store, you know, not putting sugar in my diet. And now I realize why everyone was saying eat dark chocolate. Because they don't want the sugar. Sugar being so inflammatory in the body. It's so addictive too. Extremely addictive. But this is good gum. I can't chew on the left side of my face because it's not that it hurts when I chew. It hurts later. It inflames, and this is without the sugar. Without eating sugar, which is inflammatory, it would be way far worse if I was eating sugar. But the inflammation in this, on this side of my face, is exacerbated by sugar, but it was greatly increased after the surgery to put the crown on. Both surgeries, the prep and then the additional prep, aggravated it. So, I mean, the day after, no pain at all. And I was chewing on it, it seems to me. Maybe not a lot. But I think any contact with that tooth is possibly going to cause pain. And we may have to eliminate that by lowering that tooth down out of contact where it can't make contact. Unless, I mean, I'll still be able to chew on it. But I think we have to lower it to where it can't make direct contact with the other teeth. Possibly, that's what I think, but I don't want to rush into that decision. Because if we do that, the other teeth will be subject to greater stress and there'll be a likelihood of breaking some other tooth. And which likelihood would not exist if we did not lower that tooth. So it's better to not rush. But I don't know if that's ever going to calm down, but it might. We don't know. It was calm before, but it was calm because it was very low down. And any surgery aggravates it, is what we learned. The fact that it calmed down was not because it was calm. It was because... One moment here. It was because I wasn't chewing on it. But I wasn't chewing anything, like I wouldn't chew any nuts on that side because the tooth was in danger of being broken because it was high on the edges and low in the middle. High on the edges and low in the middle. High on the edges and low in the middle. Like, it's like shaped like that. In profile. So, the next thing we want to talk about, what is it? I really feel better. I also ordered more gum because I was running out, and I ordered more matcha tea, so that way I don't have to worry about running out for a while. So my finances now look like I've pretty well spent all my money for this month, I believe, but you know, I'll pay the bills at the end of the month to keep my bank account up as high as I can. And take advantage of the grace period of my Visa card, and I'll pay things before they become chargeable, you know, with interest, so there won't be interest that way. But I need to, and I'm keeping track of it, so every time I make a purchase, I write down the due date as 1 month later. So if I purchase it on October 20th, I'll say November 20th is the due date. Even though it might not be exactly 1 month later, I'll say, I'm not sure if that's exactly what, if it's 30 days that they use or what it is, but I'll just keep the same number. That way I'll remember I bought it on the 20th of October, right? But whatever date I buy it on, I'll put the next month's name and that same number next to that month, so that will be my due date in my mind. And I'll try to pay a few days before that. That's my way of accounting and doing bookkeeping with the purchases I'm making. And it seems to work. And then I'll also put a page number where the purchase was recorded so that I can, and then I'll record the nature of that purchase on that page number, and I'll be able to refer to that as well. So I have my records. So that right now I owe about $1,600, and all of that money, I've got that money. If I pay all that money now, I'll still have $300 more than I need to keep my minimum bank account balance. So I could even buy some more food as well and still be above that. But I don't want to pay it now because it's not due yet. I want to wait until it's due and then pay it, because some other expense might come up, and I'll, you know, in the meantime, and put me below my minimum bank balance, which just would incur a charge of $3 or something, which I don't want to incur. So if any other expense comes up, I've got the money in the bank account right now. Something like 4,900, I think. Well, the taxes have to be paid, and it's something like 4,900 after I pay the local tax or the property tax. I've got about 4,900 right now, which is my minimum is 3,000, so I've got 1,900 extra, which is 300 more than 1,600, which I owe. And the owing amount is less than 16. I just keep it roughly 16 in my mind. So I owe that because I bought various things. Like, let's get into it a tiny bit more. It's just so I can remind myself. It is, well, I don't even know what it is. I just say Amazon Visa. Yeah. There's a couple of items that I haven't yet paid for. I've received them, but I haven't paid for them. I mean, I've paid them by Visa, just haven't paid Visa yet. And then I've got my $500 in supplements. I haven't paid that. And I've got another Amazon Visa, whatever that is. And then I got another National Nutrition. That's my gum, which I just ordered with the kaolin clay. That hasn't been paid either. And the other Amazon that I just ordered, which is the matcha tea. And I ordered a welding. Yes, I ordered a welding jacket or a welding apron with it. But it's a jacket. It has sleeves and it goes down further down on the body. I need to order shoes or something that's for my feet, or I can use my mules maybe for welding. But I don't want to be the mules don't have any back strap to hold them onto my feet. I think I'll need to get some kind of leather boots or something if I can't find where I have some leather boots. Because my boots, the soles of them rotted and fell off. They're falling apart. Like the rubber was no good on the soles. So I have to either glue on get some rubber soles and glue them on myself, which I could do. I don't know. I don't know if I really should do that, or either that, or I have to buy some new shoes. But I can probably buy some boots on Amazon for maybe $100 or something. I don't know. But I need to get some boots. Probably because I have no boots at all. The problem with buying boots on Amazon is you can't try them on, right? I bought sandals on Amazon. I bought running shoes on Amazon. But I did like maybe more than, I don't know, a lot of hours, whatever it is, a lot of hours of research to find the shoes that I thought would fit my feet because they were narrow enough because I have narrow feet. I had to find, read all the reviews, did all the research and found the soles, shoes that would not wear out quickly in terms of they have a good enough material as the sole, on the sole of the shoe so that they don't wear out by walking on pavement, so that these shoes will not wear out during my lifetime if I don't wear them much, in other words. But I don't really think that was crucial. I could have just bought soft-soled shoes. And they would never wear out because I don't wear them. I don't wear shoes. I wear sandals. So I don't know why I was concerned, but I was concerned about the wear on the soles of the shoes, partly because my feet pronate. I guess that's what it is. It's called pronation. I think that's the right word. They either underpronate or they overpronate, but I end up get I in my case, whatever it's called. Is it overpronation? I think it's called overpronation, but I'm not sure. But it's the outside of my foot that gets worn down because of the way my knees are relative to my feet. So my knees are kind of further out. That means that my foot is tipped, my feet are tipped outwards. I get wear on the outsides of my feet like this. So it they pronate out like that. So the outsides of my feet become worn down on the shoes. And I have to eventually, I guess it's okay because that's the way my feet are. So it doesn't mean I need to get new shoes. It's just the way that the feet want to be. If it wears down like that, that's just broken in. They're just supposed to be that way. I should buy shoes that have that already, the angle. I need to buy shoes that already have this the angle already on them on the soles, because that's the way my feet want to be on the ground. But that's, they don't sell that. I just realized that they never sell shoes like that, but that's probably what I need for my feet. It's curious. Thinking about that just now, it is curious to me. But the shoes I bought are fantastic shoes, absolutely fantastic. Is it Asics, I think they're called, or what are they called? Something like that. If that's, it's something, it ends with Asics, whether it starts with some other letter, I'm not sure, but I think it ends with Asics. The shoes that I have, the last letters, whether it's ASYX or ASIX, I'm not sure now. They're really good. I mean, I can't, I never wear them. I never get to see them, so that's why I don't know the name. But I did, I remember it, because I, every time I look it up and research buying shoes, I notice that company's there again. They're quite a well-known company. They make running shoes for some of the best athletes in the world. But they're a small company, and they work over in the Far East somewhere. I think it's China, maybe, or maybe it's some other place in the Far East other than China, but wherever it is, or Taiwan or whatever. But yeah, wherever it is, they make very good quality, and they're not a giant company. They're not a huge company, and they seem to make really good shoes. So I didn't buy them just for that. I had to buy them because they would fit my feet, because I thought they were going to fit my feet. That's the reason I bought them, and because of the quality, of course. But I did a lot of research, like hours and hours and hours and hours. I don't know, dozens of hours maybe, or maybe just a dozen hours. I don't know how many hours. A lot of hours of research of shoes before I bought those online. So if I buy boots online, my point is, if I buy boots online, it's going to take me days before I can even order it. But I bought this welding apron shirt, overall, whatever, you know, this welding thing to protect me when I'm welding. That's nice. I want to do some welding to try out my new 7014 16th-inch rods I got. I haven't tried them yet, so maybe I'll try fixing the cut I made with the plasma cutter using those rods. You know, be able to test that. That kind of, but it'll be lower amps because it's a narrower rod, a smaller diameter rod. That I need to test. But maybe I can wait until I get my welding protector apron. What am I going to call it? My welding, you know, over. What am I going to call it? My overshirt? It's a welding jacket, I guess. Yeah, but it's an apron too. It goes right down to the feet almost. And then I need something to protect my feet when I'm welding or doing. Or doing plasma cutting, so that then I won't have to worry about it. That would be the best idea, right? So I just need to get some leather covering for my feet. So I'll research what kind of shoes I can get. Might be able to get something that's just like a mule that has a strap at the back or something that will stay on my feet. I've got mules already. Maybe I could just rig up something so to keep those mules on my feet. That's another idea. They're not the most comfortable shoes to wear, though. I have these arch support inserts that I've got in there that are very, very stiff and very hard material, and they're set up for a very high arch. They're not the most comfortable, but if I wore them all the time, I'd be used to it. I've got a lot of things I've bought in the past that I still have now. I've got leather moccasins. That's right. The slippers that are made of leather, they don't have any arch support. They're not a very good shoe. So I'm going to be thinking about this and figuring out what I could do with my feet problem when I'm welding. I like to wear sandals. And then if I had boots too, I could use it for doing chainsaw work, which I don't have right now. I don't have any boots for chainsaw work. So I'm thinking about, yeah, maybe getting some more boots, maybe some new boots is a definite possibility. So, but that's another $100 at least, something like, or roughly that, or well, more or less. But still, it's a one-time purchase. It could be good for a long time. But I've got these perfectly good boots. I just need to put some soles on them. I need to figure out how to put some soles on these boots I've got. That's what I should do. I've got Red Wing boots from Minnesota. Black work boots. The soles got rotten on them. The rubber just flew, fell apart. And the same with the other CSA-approved safety boots, that construction boots that I bought years ago when Ann and I were both buying boots. Those boots, the rubber on the soles fell apart on those. They just don't use good rubber. I mean, that doesn't happen with good rubber. It lasts for your life and longer, doesn't it? I mean, sure it does. So they're using garbage for rubber on these boots. And so buying another pair of boots won't solve it, because it'll just introduce more of this garbage rubber into my, into my life. I think I need to buy the replacement soles, but they have to be real rubber, and then I can glue them on maybe somehow. I'll figure out how to glue them on. They've got to be glued on properly so that they don't come loose when you're walking or when you're moving. And damage your ankles. You could really hurt your ankles if you lose your sole. If you lose the heel of your boot while you're walking or moving, something bad could happen to your limbs, right? So, not just my ankles, my knees, any part of my body could be killed if the heel of my boot comes off when I'm doing something. At the top of the stairs or something, anything, right? You just don't want it to come off. So I need to figure that out in the way that is the right. It has to be real rubber, and I have to glue it on with the best glue in the world and make sure that it fits, that it's installed in the best way possible. And then I can say, yes, these are boots I can use. That's the thing. Well, so that means I can't buy boots because I don't trust the rubber on the heels of the boots. It's not going to be a good, an acceptable. It won't be an acceptable solution to buy someone else's boots at this point. Because even Red Wing makes the best boot. They make some of the best things in the world as far as shoes, and they didn't use good rubber on theirs. So who's going to use good rubber? I don't understand that. I don't quite get that. I'll have to research a little bit, a lot maybe, to find out why that didn't work. Okay, so we're in the fall. It's supposed to rain today, so I guess it's wet out there, so I guess I can't work today. I'll be working maybe tomorrow and the next day. It looks like we're going to have... I work in my sandals. I don't use boots. But I won't necessarily do chainsaw work tomorrow either. But for the next four days, we have potentially 4 days of good weather. However, it's going to be warm for some of those days. I could even do concrete work if I want on the crack in my basement wall. It always keeps opening up. I could do that during these days because it doesn't look like it's going to freeze overnight. But it's going to be too warm to work, except for tomorrow. Tomorrow, 14 degrees, it'll be okay. But then it won't be too warm to work, but it won't be heavy work, without sweating. If the weather's 18, 19, 17, which is what they're saying, that's too warm really to work. I like it 10 degrees if you're going to do heavy work. Actually, 0 degrees, 1 degree, 2 degrees if it's heavy work is the best temperature. If it's not quite so heavy work, then, 10 degrees is great. For raking leaves, maybe 14 degrees is okay, something like that. The temperatures on the different things are, they're different depending. What the best temperature is varies depending on what the type of work is. So let's look at Psalm 20, shall we, little children? Let's see what we've got here for Psalm 20. Welcome, everybody, if you're just joining us. I hope you're doing well. To the director, a melody of David. This is a short psalm, by the way. And may Jehovah guide us. Jehovah, may you guide us in our study today, in Jesus' name. May Jehovah answer you in the day of distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. I said at the start, it's a melody of David, right? Verse 2, may he send your help out of the holy place and sustain you out of Zion itself. May he remember all your gift offerings, and may he accept your burnt offering as being fat. May he give to you according to your heart, and all your counsel may he fulfill. We will cry out joyfully because of your salvation, and in the name of our God we shall lift our banners. May Jehovah fulfill all your requests. Now I do know that Jehovah certainly saves his anointed one. He answers him from his holy heavens with the saving mighty acts of his right hand. Some concerning chariots and others concerning horses. But as for us concerning the name of Jehovah our God, we shall make mention. Those very ones have broken down and fallen. But as for us, we have risen up that we may be restored. O Jehovah, do save the king. He will answer us in the day that we call. What a great psalm. That's Psalm 20. It says, look, some will talk about chariots and horses, right? And others, like us, for example, we talk about Jehovah our God. We don't talk about these weapons of warfare or instruments of war. That's not what we talk about. We talk about Jehovah our God. These tanks and these weapons of war used to be horses in the days when they didn't have tanks. And chariots they had, of course, but when they instead of tanks. But these chariots or tanks can break down. And they do break down, right? They have broken down. It says they have broken down and they've fallen. But as for us, we've risen up that we may be restored. We've risen up. We're just starting. That's incredible. I mean, that's powerful. That's inspiring, right? It's energizing. It's, what's the word? Is it innervating? Innervating? Is that a word? It's a word, but I'm not sure if it means the opposite of what I'm trying to say. But it gives us more, it restores our confidence, right? Jehovah gives us this, we rise up with wings like eagles, it says in Isaiah 40 and 31, right? We rise up with wings like eagles if we hope in Jehovah. We rise up, we regain power. It's amazing. Oh, Jehovah, do save the king. He will answer us in the day that we call. The king. It's very interesting. David refers to the king. Now, this could be David writing this when he was king. Or it could be David saying, save the king, meaning Saul, because David was loyal to Jehovah's king, whoever it was. It didn't matter if Saul was trying to kill David. David was still loyal to the king, even if the king was against David, because he knew that Jehovah was the instigator of the kingship. Jehovah was the one who had given the king and had appointed that particular king and anointed that king to be the king of Israel at that time. David was faithful to the anointing of Jehovah, the king that had been provided by Jehovah, who was at that time, before David, Saul. It was Saul before David became king. And David did not take any action against Saul, even though Saul was hunting David and during the time when Saul was king and David was not yet king. Saul was hunting David, trying to kill him. David did not retaliate at all. This is good though. May Jehovah answer you in the day of distress. It's amazing that psalm is powerful. Now let's go to the next portion of our reading today, children. It is 8, isn't it? 20, 12? 20 minus 12 is 8. Because there were 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes, and we're now in Song of Solomon. So We're on Song of Solomon chapter 8. Isn't it the last? It's the last chapter of Song of Solomon. So this is the maiden speaking, it sounds like here. Oh, that you were like a brother of mine, sucking the breasts of my mother. Should I find you outside, I would kiss you. People would not even despise me. I would lead you. I would bring you into the house of my mother, who used to teach me. I would give you a drink of spiced wine, the fresh juice of pomegranates. His left hand would be under my head, and his right hand, it would embrace me. I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you try not to awaken or arouse love in me until it feels inclined. Who is this woman coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her dear one? Under the apple tree I aroused you. There your mother was in birth pangs with you. There she that was giving birth to you experienced birth pangs. Place me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, because love is as strong as death is. Insistence on exclusive devotion is as unyielding as Sheol is. Its blazings are the blazings of a fire, the flame of jaw. Many waters themselves are not able to extinguish love, nor can rivers themselves wash it away. If a man would give all the valuable things of his house for love, persons would positively despise them. We have a little sister that does not have any breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day that she will be spoken for? If she should be a wall, we shall build upon her a battlement of silver. But if she should be a door, we shall block her up with a cedar plank. I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. In this case, I have become, in his eyes, like her that is finding peace. There was a vineyard that Solomon happened to have in Baal Hamon. He gave the vineyard over to the keepers. Each one would bring in for its fruitage 1,000 silver pieces. My vineyard, which belongs to me, is at my disposal. 1,000 belong to you, O Solomon, and 200 to those keeping its fruitage. O you who are dwelling in the gardens, the partners are paying attention to your voice. Let me hear it. Run away, my dear one, and make yourself like a gazelle or like a young one of the stags upon the mountains of spices. That's the end of Song of Solomon. So the run away, my dear one, is talking about, I mean, that's, the maiden refers to Solomon as her dear one, so she's talking to Solomon. So it looks like here that this is entirely the maiden speaking in this chapter, even though she refers to herself. Who is this woman coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her dear one? Sounds like she's talking about herself. Under the apple tree, under the apple tree I aroused you. That appears to be Solomon speaking. So maybe this is Solomon speaking, where it says, who is this woman coming up from the wilderness leading upon her dear one? But it's not clear. But in verse 4, and up until that point, it appears, it definitely is, apparently, the maiden speaking, because she repeats that phrase in verse 4, too, also, but she also talks about her dear one. Or the male brother of the brother of hers, or the person who she wishes were like a brother of hers, and she calls him, she says his left hand would be under her head, so he's a male. So it's the maiden writing, verse 3 and 1 through 3, it's the maiden writing this. And then she says, she refers to the statement she made before, that same statement of I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you try not to awaken or arouse love in me until it feels inclined. Who is this woman then? Could be someone different speaking. It could be Solomon saying that. but it can't be Solomon because it doesn't sound like it's Solomon because he says leaning upon her dear one. So it sounds like that's her saying that, speaking about herself or somebody else speaking about her. And then Solomon answers, or someone answers, under the apple tree I aroused you. There your mother was in birth pangs with you. It's amazing. It's incredible that some of the best scriptures ever written is contained in these two verses 6 and 7. It's just incredible scripture. Love is as strong as death is. Insistence on exclusive devotion is as unyielding as Sheol is. In verse 7, many waters themselves are not able to extinguish love, nor can rivers themselves wash it away. If a man would give all the valuable things of his house for love, persons would positively despise them. That's incredible. An incredible description of what love is like. You can't buy love. It's just the most remarkable thing, the most incomparable thing love is. And then we come down to the most interesting financial information, that 1,000 silver pieces is given to the, each one brings in for its fruitage. 1,000 silver pieces. Solomon gave the vineyard over to the keepers. Each of the keepers pays 1,000 silver pieces for the vineyard. They pay that to Solomon. Then it says, her vineyard, it sounds like, belongs to her. It's at her disposal. The 1,000 belong to you, O Solomon, and 200 to those keeping its fruitage. It talks about 1,000 is paid to Solomon. Silver pieces. And 200 to those keeping its fruitage. Fascinating, because that means thousand silver pieces. So they would keep the vineyard for Solomon. They'd sell the produce for 1,000 silver pieces or something like that, because that's what each one brought in for its fruitage. But they paid 20%, or he paid 20% to those keeping its fruitage, 200 to those keeping its fruitage. So it gives, this is where we get the idea of nowadays we have, this is where this comes from. It's the idea of how agents who represent somebody get paid. They get paid something like 20%, right? Or maybe more or less, depending, 10%, 20%, 15%. Some would charge 25% maybe, but agents, 20% is a number that we hear about. 200 out of 1,000, or 20%, is a number we hear about within the business world all the time, in terms of percentages, the percentage that a manager gets from a recording artist, or an agent gets, a booking agent might get. Maybe they only get 10% each, or whatever it is, but the total might be 20%. But you see that this number 20% is actually something upon which our own society is based to a significant degree. It's just unbelievably rich in information, the scriptures, not just the Psalms, the songs, like the Song of Solomon, but the scriptures in general are full of information. They're just full of information. And then it even talks about the little girl, the little sister, if she doesn't have any breasts, she's either a wall or a door, because walls and doors are fairly vertical, flat, right? But what shall we do for her? If she's a wall, we build upon her a battlement of silver. If she's a door, we block her up with a cedar plank. It's talking about on the day she will be spoken for. And then the maiden says, she is a wall. In verse 10, she is a wall and her breasts are like towers. And she says, in this case, I have become in his eyes like her that is finding peace. So she doesn't sound like she's going to marry Solomon. Doesn't sound like it. She's a wall. She's not a door. And she's going to keep the vineyard. But it's a business relationship that she has with Solomon, apparently. It's very informative, is it not? Little children? What else are we going to get today from Ephesians now? We're doing Ephesians. We're at the last chapter of Ephesians. We're going to finish that one today, hopefully. And this is a fairly long one. Not too long. It's medium. 24 verses. Children, be obedient to your parents in union with the Lord, for this is righteous. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command, with a promise that it may go well with you and you may endure a long time on the earth. And you fathers, do not be irritating your children, but go on bringing them up in the discipline and mental regulating of Jehovah. You slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters in a fleshly sense, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your hearts as to the Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as Christ's slaves, doing the will of God whole-souled. Be slaves with good inclinations as to Jehovah and not to men, for you know that each one, whatever good he may do, will receive this back from Jehovah, whether he be slave or free man. Also, you masters, keep doing the same things to them, letting up on the threatening, for you know that the master of both them and you is in the heavens, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, go on acquiring power in the Lord and in the mightiness of his strength. Put on the complete suit of armor from God that you may be able to stand firm against the machinations of the devil. Because we have a wrestling, not against blood and flesh, but against the governments, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the wicked spirit forces in the heavenly places. On this account, take up the complete suit of armor from God, that you may be able to resist in the wicked day, and after you have done all things thoroughly, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, with your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and with your feet shod with the equipment of the good news of peace. Above all things, take up the large shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the wicked one's burning missiles. Also, accept the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is God's word, while with every form of prayer and supplication you carry on prayer on every occasion in spirit. And to that end, keep awake with all constancy and with supplication in behalf of all the holy ones. Also for me, that ability to speak may be given me with the opening of my mouth, with freeness of speech to make known the sacred secret of the good news, for which I am acting as an ambassador in chains, that I may speak in connection with it with boldness as I ought to speak. Now, in order that you may also know about my affairs as to how I am doing, Tychicus a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know of the things having to do with us, and that he may comfort your hearts. May the brothers have peace and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the undeserved kindness be with all those loving our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptness. Ephesians chapter 6 and the end of Ephesians we've just completed. So that is, it just flows, that chapter. I feel like Paul is giving it, is a very, well, he's in chains, actually. He's actually in chains, but it feels like he's on the move. It feels like he's going places and doing things, and he's of course sending Tychicus, so he's able to feel, he's busy with things. He feels like he has someone who's going to be acting on his behalf, so it feels like Paul is busy. He's doing things, he's working vicariously through Tychicus, and he's doing things despite the fact that he's in prison. But it's an amazing chapter. It talks about the warfare that we wage is not against the physical human forces at all. It's against the wicked spirit forces in the heavenly places. We're not waging war physically. We're not. I thought of something today too, that we were always taught from Jesus, you know, he that strikes you on the left cheek, I can't do a search here, wait a minute, I can't see where I'm searching. Oh, I can search. Yeah, let me run my Insight books, which now work. Okay, let me do it. Let's see. Right cheek. Look up right cheek. Do not resist him that is wicked. Matthew 5:39. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. But you notice it says, do not resist him that is wicked. Do not resist him that is wicked. That's the statement. Do not resist him that is wicked. It's not got to do with slapping. It has to do with wickedness. It's nothing to do with slapping. In other words, if somebody is wicked and they shoot you with a bow and arrow, don't resist them either, is what it's saying. It's not just talking about slapping. It doesn't say to fight back. It says the opposite. But there are certain teachings that I've heard. You cannot interpret that any other way. But there are people who attempt to interpret that differently. Because if you could say, well, that it only refers to insults. It doesn't refer to physical warfare. Well, if it doesn't refer to physical warfare, then that means, well, you know, if it only applies to slapping, then that means that it's okay to fight back if somebody drops a bomb on you or does, you know, sends armed forces into your country. If it only applies to slapping and not to that, then it's okay to send your armed forces to fight against it, to fight against these other armed forces. That's not what it's saying. It says, do not resist him that is wicked. Do not resist him that is wicked. It's clear. The slapping is just an illustration that people could relate to because they might not experience physical warfare with guns or armor or, you know, whatever weapons they had in Jesus' time. They certainly had bows and arrows. not everybody would experience real warfare coming at them, but they would all probably experience something like a slap in the face at some time. So he was just using that as an illustration, because that was what people could relate to. That didn't mean that he was saying that it's okay to fight back against physical battle tanks and armor and guns and missiles. He didn't mean it was okay to fight against that. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, do not resist him that is wicked. Right? But then Paul says, take up the complete suit of armor from God, that you may be able to resist in the wicked day. Right? But we're not resisting the wicked one. Right? We're resisting the wicked spirit forces that are trying to influence us to do wicked things. Like for us to take up arms, or for us to slap back, or for us to fight back against wickedness. We don't fight back against wickedness in that way. We do stand firm against it. Like in the Purple Triangles video, when Hitler was trying to force the witnesses to compromise, and they didn't compromise, and some of them lost their lives because they didn't compromise. They didn't give in to Hitler. They stood firm against Hitler. That's what it's talking about. We don't fight back. We don't do wicked things. We stand firm, in verse 14, with truth, girding our loins, wearing the breastplate of righteousness. And with our feet shod with the equipment of the good news of peace. The large shield of faith we take up. And we are able thereby to quench the burning missiles of spiritual warfare. The helmet of salvation we accept. Salvation is such a wonderful thing. We are saved through the ransom. And the sword of the Spirit, it talks about. God's word is the sword of the Spirit. And we pray and supplicate with every form of those things, carrying on prayer incessantly. Not necessarily out loud, but in spirit. And we pray in behalf of the holy ones. Also, Paul asks for himself too, but for anyone of the holy ones, that they may be given the ability to speak with freeness of speech, to make known the sacred secret of the good news, which in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul wrote about, was the secret of Christ abolishing the wall that was the law of Moses that fenced off the nations from God. And by abolishing that, Jesus brought the nations into the new covenant, and the nations became part of God's people. They became welcomed in. They became accepted into the congregation of the body of Christ, through Christ having abolished the wall, which was the law consisting of decrees of the law of Moses, all the decrees of the law of Moses that had to be carried out, that prevented everyone from entering in because they couldn't fulfill the law until Christ fulfilled it himself. They couldn't fulfill it, and because it, of course, it included prophecies about the Messiah. They couldn't fulfill those prophecies about the Messiah. But they couldn't fulfill, they couldn't even carry out all the commandments of the law. They were imperfect. They couldn't carry out the commandment against not committing adultery, or and or not telling lies, not, you know, not treating their father and mother improperly, you know, not blaspheming the Sabbath, you know, not doing all these, not doing all the things correctly. They couldn't do all the law. They weren't able to carry out the law of Moses with the Ten Commandments and all those other things. There were a lot of other things besides the Ten Commandments as well. They couldn't do all those things correctly and perfectly. Like if your neighbor's donkey falls into a pit, help your neighbor get the donkey out of the pit. That's one of the commandments they had. You know, you love your brother, so if your brother's wife dies, you perform brother-in-law marriage, you marry the widow of your brother and raise up children for your brother if your brother wasn't able to do that. That was another part of the law. There were many aspects of the law that were required to be done, and nobody was perfect. Nobody could perform all these things until Jesus came along and did everything in such a way that his death marked the end of the law, because he had fulfilled the law. And therefore the nations were brought into the new covenant. They were brought into a new covenant which had not existed before, which is the new covenant, God's kingdom. And the initial calling was the calling to be rulers with Christ. It was the heavenly calling. At that initial point, when the law was first abolished, and then much later, of course, the idea, it was realized, it was understood. Although there may have been some at that time who understood this, that's possible, but it was understood that the original purpose of God was for people to live forever on earth. It wasn't for Adam and Eve to go to heaven. That wasn't the original purpose. It was for Adam and Eve to live forever on earth. So, okay, we've got a shipment here. So let me see what we're doing with my time here. Must be time. Yeah, it's time. So it's Ward Green. It's October 20th. My shipment's just been sent out or tracked or something. October 20th, 2022, 1650 hours. Ward Green saying, I love you. Bye for now. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.